Welcome to the Wicked Radio Network.
Here we go again.
Welcome to Angela's Awesome Podcast.
I'm Angela Freeman, and I'm here podcasting out of Haley, Idaho with my friend Henno.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. We have some interesting things to discuss with everyone today, or to discuss with each other and have you listen to is probably more accurate, and give you some food for thought.
Hope you enjoyed last week.
Food for thought. Get it? Food for thought.
Gotcha.
Since we're going to talk about...
We're
going to talk about emotional eating.
So a couple things.
But not yet. We're going to start with a couple of things.
As always, Henno.
As always.
Jumping in there.
Go.
Big thanks to Real Big Dev for listening to last week's and saying, you know, that the topic was about self-motivation.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah. And I was just like... Cool. Because when we got done, I was just like, okay, what did we just talk about?
We talked about our mission statement.
No, we did. But I just like, we were
and
just
I
talking about
And I love that he said
it.
That our mission statement was self-motivation, although I'd even like it better if it was self-inspiration.
Self-inspiration, or maybe he did say that. He may have said inspiration. Yes. Inspiring. I think that's what he said. He said inspiring yourself.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
I think he did. Cool. It was pretty cool. So did you watch the plank?
I watched the plank from Snake Oil. You bet.
So Snake Oil Comics, you have to go to their YouTube page, and I have it here because I brought it up, and check out the, they have the, I just love how it's World Championship plank. You know, I just love that title.
And I don't want to share with those guys, so everybody who's on Snake Oil, plug your ears, that there's a couple of yoga teachers up here that I'm friends with that do that plank for like 30 minutes. If you can even imagine that insanity. Danielle Fuller, that owns Gather Yoga Studio, 30 minute plank. 30 minutes.
Now, in that position that they did with the L forearms, or does she do hands?
I think she does hands. I think hands are harder.
So, all right, take it back. It's Snake Oil Comics presents Extreme Planking.
Tell them they need to come up here and they can, some of these yoga chicks can school them.
So, yeah.
You guys would love that, right?
So, everybody go to the YouTube page and check it out. It is awesome.
It was hilarious.
The captions that were going scrolling across the bottom were hilarious.
Yeah, I liked the captions a lot.
And big congratulations for doing a good job with the plank. Steve ended up being the winner, I think.
And just so you know, I think 1 minute of plank is plenty.
Yeah, and they
plenty, really good.
They did it, yeah.
They did over a minute.
Big time. Yeah, no, they definitely did. So, and then
good job.
Yeah, where's my applause?
You just had it. There you go.
I had to bring up the YouTube video for a second. And I just want to send my, I guess, condolences, and my thoughts are with Jeannie and Tony. They had to say goodbye to one of their four-legged family members this week.
Oh, no. We hate that.
I know. And so,
sad.
Heart goes out to them.
Very sad.
Must have been tough. Yep.
Maybe they were doing some emotional eating.
You know what? So, yeah, there you have it.
And I
have to commiserate with... Sean from Pittsburgh Nerd this week, because he was sharing on his podcast about his knee gets to him a little bit, and how he's like, you know, I need to adjust my workout a little. And what's great is he talked about how, you know, we threw out some suggestions, and I guess he works with somebody that does some fitness training or something like that. So he's reached out to her also for some ideas. And I have to totally commiserate with him, because I went into the gym. I had to dig a really big hole at work at the beginning of this week. You don't walk that way, like on the waterfall.
Yeah, this is at Zenergy Thunder Springs Health Club in Ketchum.
It's over my head if I stand bottom of it.
Oh.
I mean, I had to do a lot of digging. So at the end of those days, I wasn't exactly going to the gym.
Right.
And I was already hadn't kind of gone a whole lot the last week or so. So I got up Thursday at 5, actually.
To come work out with us.
Yeah, but what's been happening to me is, like, if I go to bed early, I will wake up at like 2:30 or 3.
Oh.
And so when 5 rolled around, I was awake.
Right.
But I knew if I did it, I was just done for the day.
Yeah.
So I decided to reset the alarm and go in the afternoon.
Good.
So, but I did make it in on Thursday.
Good.
And I went right in like usual with like, okay, let's do it. And right away it was like, elbow hurts a little.
Uh-oh.
Let's make an adjustment. So
Oh, good.
I went really light.
Good.
I did more reps.
Good.
I got pumped up and I walked out feeling good.
Oh, good. Good catch.
Yeah. And so I feel like I have a chance to...
we want to do lots of applause today.
Yeah. I feel like I have a chance to actually get back in there.
Good. Okay,
you know
good.
What I mean? Like, if I'd done it, and then, you know, because to tell you the truth, it was weird how I was actually kind of bored because I really didn't want to be there
at the gym
because it didn't feel good to me you know I'm not in my usual like cool let's do it you
right
because it's everything's a little rough right now
because
it's been a few weeks so
yeah.
It was good to just kind of say, you know what, I'm gonna hit all the major body parts, I'm gonna do just more reps.
Yeah.
And then, you know, get on the treadmill and do a little cardio and stuff. So
that little story from Hinno, I think, is a great introduction and kind of an explanation of what this podcast is about. It's about helping people make sustainable changes and kind of just navigating life, because there's a lot of us out there that life's us, and then we get off of our gym schedule, or we get off of our healthy eating schedule, or we get out of our healthy habits. And then how do you get back without it becoming a major full-blown problem? And that's how, what you just said. You go, you just do something, you show up, you don't worry about it, you let go of the outcome. You check your ego at the door and just go, I'm going to do something. You know, I think that a lot of us get stuck in that all or nothing. I'm going to, you know, completely do this, or I'm going to completely go off the rails. And I think that there's so much room in the middle. And as we've illustrated and talked about, and we'll continue to talk about, science actually backs this up. There's all kinds of studies saying that just a little bit of movement makes a huge difference in your overall health. You don't have to look like, you know, you're getting ready for a swimsuit contest. You don't have to lose all this weight. You don't have to go to the gym all the time in order to have a huge improvement in your numbers that directly affect your health, your cholesterol levels, your blood pressure, you know, blah, blah, blah. So
go in and do something.
So you're sharing with us a perfect example of exactly what we're trying to talk about and trying to inspire. And I guess a little bit motivate people to do, because there's a lot of people out there that do really well and are really consistent with things. And then there's a lot of us in the middle that just are like, oh my God, really? I'm off schedule again. Like, how do I get back on? And blah, blah, blah. And it's
so
just
true.
Hard. It's hard. It's hard. Sometimes I think it's really hard to be healthy. I mean, let's just say it. I had conversation after yoga today with a gal, and she's like, you know, you kind of said that this is hard. And she's like, maybe you should just make it, you know, like say it's challenging, or say it's something that you're really wanting to do, but it's taking longer than expected. I was like, you know what? You're right. I could relanguage it, but it just feels hard. And I'm okay with that, because sometimes we need to tell the truth about how it really feels. And then when we do a baby step, we can be like, good job, because it is hard. And then I think sometimes I'm all in favor, and we've done podcasts on relanguaging, and I believe in that. But I also, there's also the other side where it's like, just call it what it is and just say, hey, congratulations for getting out of bed and showing up today the best you could. And even if the best you could wasn't very good, congratulations anyway. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of people that need more encouragement rather than more like, boy, you should have done this, or you could have done that better. I don't know. Maybe that's just the voice in my head, but it seems like that's something that happens.
I found it.
You found what?
I found what Snake Oil Comics tweeted. Super awesome this week. Love the talk on finding your own path to inspiration.
Oh, nice. That's even better than what we were trying to recall it as.
I know.
Sweet.
I was like under...
Thanks, you guys.
That was awesome.
We love that. It's great. So, because here's the other thing. I just want to check in really quick. Like last weekend, we talked about, before our last podcast, is we had a wellness weekend up here last weekend. And I did wellness lectures all day on Saturday. A yoga thing on Friday afternoon, all day on Sunday, and then a workshop on Monday morning. I'm kind of wellnessed out. I mean, it was so great. It was so great. But I will tell you.
Is that why you're okay with hard right now?
I guess. It just feels hard. There were some other things that happened that kind of feel hard, but we won't get into that. But you know what? There were a couple of really big messages, and we're going to talk about these in future podcasts because they were really moving. But the one thing that really I heard a lot was there's no one way to do it. I don't care what it is that you're doing. There's no one way to create healthy habits. There's no one way. There's no one set prescription of what is healthy for you. There's no one way to get inspired. There's no one way to connect with a power greater than yourself or your higher self or whatever you want to call it. Like, we're all so unique. And I worked with this Ayurvedic guy, and he's like, there's no one right way to eat for people. Like, we keep talking about, because we're all so different. So I love that, because that is exactly what we want to do. We want to inspire you and give you ideas for you to try out. Yeah. You know, and it's interesting because one of my friends who's a yoga teacher, and she was my main yoga teacher, and she was sharing with me, she's like, you know, sometimes you just need to kind of go from within and decide what to do. And I said, exactly. And I said, other times we need to listen to as many people as we can and then take that information and see what we're being drawn to and what we should try next, because we don't heal by ourselves, you know, and it's helpful to hear, hey, this worked really well for me. So hopefully somebody out there is like inspired to go back and do a half-assed gym workout just to get started, because you know what? Half-assed is awesome.
I'm, by the way, mailing you this
okay, good.
Quote, because it really is good.
Yeah.
You should put it on your website as like a, what's it called? You
know, like testimonial.
Testimonial.
Yeah,
it will. It could be Snake Oil Comics testimonial on
awesome.
Going to Angela's.
I will.
All right, so.
So, emotional eating.
Emotional eating.
Are we ready for that? Do we have all
I'm
of
so
our
ready
business?
For it.
Are we? Okay, good.
Oh, I've
okay.
been doing it.
All right, so you guys. So I just want to put this out there. When we talk about emotional eating, I'm sure most of you, if you're listening to a health and wellness podcast and you're listening to a podcast in general that you're trying to get inspired from, I'm going to guess that your first inclination is emotional eating. Oh, good. She's going to tell me how to not do that anymore. Am I right?
Yeah.
Because it's bad, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping you're going to get me out of it.
Okay.
Aren't we?
All right. Well, first of all, before we get into some of the tools and some of the strategies around paying attention to your emotional eating, I just want to assert that we as human beings are going to emotionally eat. Ta-da! We are going to emotionally eat because that's part of the reason. That's part of our biology. Like, we have to eat in order to survive, and yet we've evolved past the point where we have to just survive. Like, we don't have to go hunt things down in order to be able to make it. All we have to do is go to the grocery store or get on Amazon and it'll get delivered, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not really in survival mode. And we are in an age where we have a lot of things going on. We are very busy as a society, and food can be a great choice for emotionally regulating and managing what's happening to us. It can be very grounding. It can also be a pick-me-up. I mean, who out there listening to this podcast drinks coffee in the morning?
I do.
And loves it. And it emotionally regulates the beginning of your day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Not going to sit here and tell you not to do that. Not going to say there's anything wrong with it. Not going to say that that's a bad thing. Going to say, all right.
Okay, wow, you just made my because seriously, like, I was first like, all right, what do you mean? Because it's true. I emotionally drink every morning.
Right. I mean, it's not really just, I mean, yes, it gives you that buzz. It gives you whatever. But like, I know I don't drink coffee because I'm one of those people that doesn't work for me. I have consequences that just I've had to let go of coffee. My husband, I swear to God, he lives for coffee. Like, it makes life worth living that he gets up and has coffee in the morning.
I do.
What's wrong? That's amazing. Let's just embrace that and go with it and be like, yay, and celebrate it and just continue enjoying it. Why would we want to take that away from you?
No.
Right. Well, I know. Not that we could. I mean, pry it out of Rob's like cold, dead hands. Forget about it.
But I'm sure there's a point where.
But there's a point. Okay. So here's the thing. It's just like everything else in life. There's always a balance. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's take. So with it, we're going to do some different examples in today's podcast. But let's just start with the coffee because this is perfect because the coffee works really well for my husband. And I'm guessing it works really well for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you feel good. You don't feel jittery. You don't feel antsy, right?
Yeah. Okay. I get up and I get going.
Right. And through your work with this podcast and on your own, you've started drinking more water, drinking less juice, and you've been needing less caffeine later in the day. You're not doing energy drinks in the afternoon for the most part, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where the coffee thing can get. So just like anything else, it's the dose that makes the poison. And just like anything else, everybody's dose that makes the poison is going to be different. For me, one cup of coffee doesn't work. That is too much poisonous. Doesn't work for me. I get jitters. I have a headache the next day, or I have headache later in the afternoon. Like I seriously start having my heart palpitations. Like I'm so sensitive to caffeine, particularly in the delivery form of coffee, that I just can't do it. So that dose doesn't work for me. However much coffee you drink, as long as you're not having to drink it too late in the day, as long as you're able to get quality sleep, as long as you're drinking water, as long as you're feeling good, I'm going to say that dose works for you.
So like I'm typically 2 in the morning to now.
Right.
I'm 2 in the morning and I actually have a cup of coffee when I get home. Not because I need it, but because I enjoy it.
Right.
It's part of my, what might be a beer for
emotional
somebody else.
Emotional regulation. Yeah. Exactly.
I sit down, I'm done. And this kind of seems a little weird, like, you know, to people that I sit down and have a relaxing moment. I have my iPad and I'm playing a little video game, or I got my magazine out and I've got a cup of coffee. It's not much different feeling than when I wake up in the morning and I maybe go on to the news online and I have a cup of coffee. It's that same thing.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing it because I need it. It's more like something that feels good to me, right?
Yes.
Now, if you take me back, let's say 15 years ago, I was actually drinking somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 7 cups of coffee a day.
Right.
And that was when I could drink a cup of coffee in the afternoon and it would have the opposite effect.
You'd get tired.
I'd get sleepy.
Right.
It was like Ritalin.
Right.
It was like all of a sudden it was like boom, crash.
Right.
And that was my too far.
Right, right. No. There you go. And you could probably get away with it for a little while at that age. Like sometimes, you know, this is another reason why it's so individual and unique, because as we get older, we sometimes evolve into a point where it's like, this just isn't working. My body can't handle this anymore, or it hasn't been super healthy. Like I'm going to go out on a limb here and say 7 cups of coffee might be a little much for almost anybody.
I think that's up to you're doing some damage.
You know, I think it's, you know, your adrenals and then, you know,
your heart.
I would say, and my question for you, if you were coming to me and you're like, I just want to feel healthier and you're drinking 7 cups of coffee, I might say, okay, let's just take a look at this. Why do you feel like you need,
well, that's the,
you know,
exactly.
What are you doing too much in your life? Do you have too much stress? Are you trying to get too much done? Like what can we look at why you're drinking?
Yeah.
We're going to get more into that. Exactly. And then the motivation to maybe slow down and quit the coffee wouldn't even be about the coffee. Like if you looked at your lifestyle and you said, wow, I am too busy, and you kind of started tweaking that, you might naturally drink less coffee.
And that's,
it might not even be a thing where you're like, I have to drink less coffee.
Yeah. And that was and that's basically what happened.
Right.
You know, well that, and as I got older, it did start doing damage to me because it's acidic.
It is acidic.
And it caused like indigestion and things like that too. So,
and it can be agitating. And like I said, sometimes we can do things when we're younger that we just can't do later on in life. We're not supposed to do it. And it doesn't mean, oh my God, I can't believe I did that when I was younger. It's just, you get a little older, you get a little wiser, you do it a little differently.
And now I know, like, so there are days that are extreme coffee days.
Right.
And I have those days.
Right.
And that's when the bell dings in my head, like,
right,
okay, you're not doing this because you need it. You're doing it for some other reason.
Right.
Like, I'll find myself suddenly grabbing, and I'm like, all right, you do just fine on 3 a day.
Right. Totally.
Why are we pushing 5 today?
And that... that to me is the basis of this podcast. And I wrote a blog on this. It's called Emotional Rescue. It's on my website.
Are we going to put Rolling Stones in the background?
Going to Angelas.com. You know, honestly, I took me a week to write this blog because I wrote it. Then I didn't like it. I started over and then I wrote it. And then I spent like, I don't even know how long I spent editing it. A little bit last night and then like for at least an hour and a half today. So hopefully it's okay. You guys, I kept going back. Rob's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, it just needs something. But anyway, every time I'd go and pull up the Stones and listen to.
Oh, did you really?
Because I love that song and I was going to put it in there and I was like, oh, people will think that's too weird. So I didn't. But yeah, you might want to throw on the Stones and listen to that while you read the. Or maybe in the background of this.
So we can get into your headspace.
So you can get into my headspace. Well, here's the thing. Okay, so here's the thing. So I come at this from a dynamic eating psychology standpoint and a mind-body nutrition standpoint from my training with the Institute for the Psychology of Eating, which is in Boulder, Colorado, founded by Mark David. And I used to, as a trainer, I used to be like, let's figure it out and don't do any emotional eating. And I have really come full circle on this to the point where it's like, you know what? There are people out there that are going to be, for lack of a better word, more spiritually evolved that maybe don't ever use food to emotionally regulate. Like I'm thinking of one of my friends who's like a super big meditator. She's been Buddhist for a long time. She's super into like being able to feel and process her emotions through therapy, meditation, yoga. But I think most of us, food's a really good backup system and it's a really good way. And I used to think, well, if I just get more spiritually evolved, then I won't have to use that. And now I really am like, you know what? I'm a person that's doing, I'm on a spiritual path. And yeah, food's part of my emotional regulation system. And when it gets out of control, like you're talking about, the way that I choose to look at it is I choose to look at it as what's really going on.
It's like an indicator for
you. It's an indicator. It's a doorway. That's what it says in my...
A doorway.
A doorway. So...
Doorway to what?
Doorway to what's going on. So here's another... So that was the coffee kind of example. And you guys, we're just going to throw out some examples, but this could be around anything. And we're saying emotional eating, but obviously I'm including drinking. You know, I'm including coffee, alcohol. I mean, I'm not saying it just has to... It's something that you're putting in outside of... recreational drugs. We're not going there. Maybe on another day. but the example I use on the blog, because this is one that used to really upset me, and I've talked about this before, is the eating ice cream on the couch. Okay. So for the most part, eating ice cream on the couch, generally speaking, it's not like having a small scoop of ice cream that you're sharing with someone after going out to dinner, right? Eating ice cream on the couch is sort of like, okay, I just need to sit on the couch, eat ice cream, and I'm kind of checking out. Like, that's what that means to me. And everybody's going to have probably their food that they're going to be able to relate this to. Like, maybe some sort of gummy something for you or whatever. When I do, so if you can, when you start doing a behavior like that, and this is sort of goes back to the podcast on the choosing muscle. So, but if you can, while you're there, first of all, if you can just be there, it's super helpful. Just try not to check out so much that you're unconscious and you're like, oh, dang, just ate the whole carton.
You just got potato chips all over you. Popcorns everywhere.
I had no idea. It's gone, you know, and I've done that. And, you know, it's nice to be present while you're doing it. And like we've talked about before, actually experience some pleasure. Actually, you know, have the sensation, feel the sensation of being satisfied in your stomach from having something go in, right? Okay. So that's really helpful. And then sometimes you just can't. And then afterwards you're like, mother, dude, I just can't believe I did that. And I'm never going to do that again. And and you know what I used to do? My old MO is I used to go and just work out, like run, you know, 15 miles the next day, like work that off, you know, like you suck. I'm pointing my finger at myself. You need to go work it up. Once you do that, instead of going through all of that and purging, basically, is what happens if you go run or if you diet the whole next day, that's a different kind of purge. Or if you throw it up, that's a different kind of purge. All those things are purging what you've just done. If instead of being determined to purge, because the problem with a purge is on the other side of every purge is another binge, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of they kind of go hand in hand. You binge, you purge, you binge, you binge. If you can just be like, okay, take a step back, and you might need some help doing this. You might need a coach. You might need a good friend. You might need someone who has the same thing that's been there and how they worked out, you know, that don't do it anymore. How do they do it? But if you can ask yourself, okay, what is it that I need so badly that I'm sitting down eating this entire carton of ice cream every night on the couch? What is it? What is it doing for me? So if you were asking me that, what I would say, and I've done some examination on it, what it does for me is there's part of it. Now it's not the same as it used to be, but what it used to do for me is it used to be a way to absolutely check out and unwind because I was so overwhelmed with the way my life was going and how busy my schedule was. And I wasn't eating. So that was part of it. And I also came to understand that I wasn't eating enough during the day to put me into a state to be able to stop that. It was like a train coming down the tracks. Like I didn't really eat very much for breakfast, if I ate at all. Didn't eat a whole lot for lunch. And what I did eat, I was on the run. So I wasn't, you know, wasn't even landing. Maybe have a little snack in the afternoon. Eat dinner, but it'd be really healthy. And then all of a sudden, like, here comes the train. Like, it's just inevitable that I was going to eat ice cream. Or something else, like, and too much.
Or just pick out in general.
Just pick out. Yeah. So there was a physical side of it, like my body actually needed the nutrition. Not that it was nutrition. Your body's not actually smart enough to be like, hey, dude, you need some carbohydrate, you need some you need some healthy fat, and you need just a little bit more protein. It just says eat.
Yeah.
Eat. And you know, you're gonna crave something that has a lot, like ice cream has a lot of fat, has a lot of carbohydrate, has a little bit of protein. Like the body's just not gonna be like, hey, why don't you sit down and have some avocado with, you know, it's just not going to happen like that. So there's the physical part, like setting that up. Then there's the emotional part. Like I wasn't having any pleasure during the day. I was working my ass off. I didn't have a balance at all around that. I was lonely. Rob would be at work. He was working nights at that time. Too tired to like reach out to anybody, do anything else. And the other piece that's both physical and emotional and spiritual is I was a workaholic. I was working more than what my soul wanted me to work. And that was my outlet. So I spent a lot of years just judging it and trying to manipulate it and figure it out and do it differently. And then when the news came down, when I started getting into recovery and I started learning about this stuff, I was like, okay, what is this? You know, I stepped back and like actually learned those things about it. So once you learn, once you stop judging it long enough to step back and learn and look at what it's doing for you, then you can be like, okay, what can I change? What's a baby step I can do to change my schedule? What's a baby step? Can I eat breakfast with protein? Can I try breakfast? Can I try a lunch that has a little bit more complex carbohydrate, protein, and fat? Can I carve an hour out of my day so I can sit down and eat lunch? Can I make plans with some friends when I know that Rob's going to be working and I need to do something and I'll want to do that because I'm working less? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you see how I'm wrapping that all? So really it has so little to do with the actual behavior and it has so much to do with what's actually going on in your life.
I have an example.
Bring it.
And this applies to this week. We had a big project one day this week, and when a lot of times when I have a big project at work, we're not getting a chance to, I'm not eating like I usually do.
Right.
I might not have a snack like I usually have a snack. I get to have lunch, but I won't have a chance to like grab some fruit or some nuts or whatever like I usually do. And so when you get to the end of the day, I'm tired and I'm hungry, and I walk to my truck like I just got my booty kicked today.
Yeah.
And
'cause you did.
Yeah. And that's a recipe for, you know what? It. You know, and just grab a whole pizza and eat the whole thing.
Right.
Because I earned this.
Right.
I had a hard day.
Right.
And what's interesting is on Wednesday, when we got done, I was tired, but I didn't do this on purpose. This just kind of the way it happened.
Right.
Rather than saying, I got my butt kicked today, I was really proud of, like, I kicked some ass today.
Yeah.
Today was a good day.
Yeah, cool.
It was a hard day, but it was a good day. And I came home and I actually made myself a decent meal and I went to bed early.
Wow.
And it was like, and you just talking about it made me realize that you know, all I did was reframe it.
Right.
I didn't feel any different, but rather than have the attitude of like, you know, oh man, I got work today.
Right.
Which instantly gets to this like victim.
Right.
I'm the victim and I need to do something to, you know, like I've earned this to go out and just, you know, blow it.
Right.
And I don't know why it happened, but it did. I didn't feel like the victim. I felt like the hero.
Right.
Like we really, you know, yeah. And the next day when I got to work, I was like, man, was I tired? And everyone was like, yeah, we were all tired. We all had, but everyone was stoked.
Right.
And it's kind of interesting how I did not go home that night and do what I usually do at the end of a hard day. So there's a tool right there.
Right.
Even.
The reframe.
The reframe of like that kind of a thing. You know, you had a, whatever it is.
Absolutely. And the other reframe, I think that's perfect. First of all, really good example. The other reframe I would suggest to you is on the day where you get the efforts. I would say that when you get that way, you can be like, all right, this is what, because here's the deal.
A choice.
Because here's the deal. This is what happens to so many of us in life. Something happens. We have a hard day. We had to say goodbye to our beloved, it makes me choke up, yeah. Our beloved canine. We had to, you know, our kid was sick. We missed our workout. We missed our yoga. Who knows? We got in a huge fight with our spouse because of something stupid. And then even though we made up, we just feel exhausted because things happen. And so when things happen like that, I want everyone to have choices of different tools to regulate their emotions and to process them. But I also know for myself at this point in my spiritual journey, as an eating psychology coach, as a gym trainer, as someone who's 46 years old, living in Idaho, sitting here doing a podcast, sometimes I actively say to Rob, my husband, it's pizza night.
Yeah.
You ready? Because I need pizza tonight. I need pizza and I need ice cream. And that's what we're doing. Because I know that if I actively choose it, which I do sometimes now, here's the thing. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So I might as well get on board and be like, I choose to have this meal that makes me feel heavy, relaxed, satisfied, greasy, oh my God, hot, melted, that I just love. It's my favorite food ever. I just love so much. And the more I say to him, let's do this, the less I actually need to get what I need from it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't need the whole pizza. Now, honestly, Hanno, with your metabolism, working that hard all day long without being able to eat and get a lot of nutrition, it doesn't surprise me at any way, shape, or form that your body is saying heavy, dense, caloric-ridden food, laden food. Yeah. Your body is trying to maintain homeostasis, and it is saying it's giving you it's. And instead of being like, "I can't believe I screw it, I had to do this," you could be like, "Wow, body, you're so smart," because it is, because that's what's happening.
Well, can I tie this into?
You can tie it into whatever you want.
Of eating and spirituality a little bit.
Yes.
So this is what I'm hearing from you. So one of the things that I've learned through the idea of getting out of self and, you know, all that kind of stuff is the only thing that I can control is my attitude.
Right.
I can't control Angela.
No.
I can't control my dog.
No.
But I can control my attitude towards Angela and my dog.
Yes.
Right. And I can also control my attitude towards eating. So if I want to go with the victim checkout mode,
right?
How am I optimizing my,
elimination, digestion, and assimilation.
Assimilation, right? How could I be in a good place for that if my attitude is bad? So if I had the hard day, let's go out and celebrate the hard day and eat the pizza with the right attitude. And therefore I don't go into the stress response.
Yes. Give it a, I love it. Really good. Love
Thank
it.
You. I'm learning.
Love it.
I'm
love
learning.
It. Because
my hands
the thing
are raised,
is,
by the way, for everyone
that
can't see.
The thing is you're going to do it anyway. And so, here's the thing. And this has been my experience. I started hearing this type of inspiration and I'm like, I'm trying this out. But I started really being an observer of how I felt after eating meals. How, you know, like, I would, you know, I love pizza. Okay. So there'd be leftover pizza and I'd have pizza for lunch sometimes the next day. I'd go back to work and I would just be like, oh my God, I'm so tired. Oh my God, it must be the pizza's bad. And then finally I started, when I stepped back long enough, I'm like, okay, pizza works for me on nights where I need that heavy, grounded, relaxed feeling because I've been so wound up. That's what I really want. That's totally, I'm just going to enjoy it. Pizza doesn't work for me for lunch. I like something lighter so that when I go back to work, it's already being digested and I don't feel so heavy. So I was like, okay, isn't this cool? I get to pick and choose instead of being governed by my cravings or governed by, well, I'm starting my diet next week, so I better get it in every single meal until then, or whatever other nonsense would create that. So yes, if you're actively choosing it, you're absolutely right. You're putting yourself into the relaxation response already by being on board with it. You're also putting yourself in the relaxation response if you can say, congratulations, body. I hear what you're saying. You're right. I've been working you. And you're right. Let's do this. Now, am I saying that that's what I want you to do every night when you get off of a hard day? If you're like, well, Angela said, I have a rough life. I'm going to eat naughty foods all the time. Not naughty. That's not a good word. That's just a phrase one of my girlfriends used.
We went back to the Victorian age.
Naughty food. But maybe foods that aren't. I don't think pizza is necessarily the most nutritious, sustainable, life-giving force food choice. I also don't think it's the worst thing in the world. I don't think anything's the worst thing in the world. I would submit to you to pick the highest quality that you can manage with your pocketbook, because the higher quality, the more satisfaction you're going to get. And I feel the same with this. Okay, so here's the thing. So let's talk about, so that was kind of the pizza story. I do want to share one other little thing about that. So the more on board I am with it, the more that I observe it, and if I need it a lot, if I need pizza a lot, then I need to start looking at what's going on. And this is in the blog, but I need to start looking up because I know that for me, it's a way to bring me down when I get too wound up about trying to get too much done and I get too tired. So my life lesson and the doorway that pizza provides for me, if I'm using it all the time, is how can you start shifting so that you're not so driven and busy and in such a hurry to get, I don't even know what,
yeah,
you know, 18 million people reading my blog and listening to my podcast and running this. I don't even know what I'm in such a hurry, but why am I in such a hurry? What's happening here? I mean, so it's a doorway. And when I stop and step back, I go, what is this? What is life asking me to do? Well, for me, the lesson is my life's asking me to be more patient and enjoy what's already going on. If there's one person listening, awesome. If there's 100, awesome. If there's 1,000, awesome. But who cares? Like, just let all that go, right? So interestingly enough, the more I allow myself to have this and the more on board with it, and I believe me, I only set out to have a relationship with it. Like, I for a long time kept saying, I'm going to not eat pizza and ice cream anymore. And finally, I was like, that's not true. I love these foods. They're going to have, how can I be in relationship with it? Because I hated having this experience and then feeling so bad. I like want to feel good all the time. The more on board I am, the more I actually do it. It's so weird. I didn't set out to do it less. I set out to be in relationship with it and be okay with it. And I naturally just don't do it that much now.
And like for me,
it's wild.
Like this last week, the reason I didn't, after a hard day, I didn't go down to Snow Bunny and just grab a big old greasy hamburger is because I actually had planned ahead and I had food in the house. You know, and I was able to eat. And so, like, if you do have a hard week coming up, you know it's going to happen. If you're, you know, for me, my lesson from this is, okay, be prepared for this. You're going to have a hard week. Go grocery shopping on Sunday night and make sure you've got food available. Because if I walk in the house and I'm just like in that, wow, and I open the fridge and it's empty.
Yeah.
I'm jumping in my truck.
Yeah.
And I'm heading down and there's going to be French fries and we had one night with bad fries and
yeah, and then you don't feel good. Okay, so horrible. That's a great another example of emotional eating because my husband's a personal trainer. He works on the other half of my gym, and he's gearing up to be really busy this summer. Like, he's got people coming into town. He's got new clients. This is something that we've both put out to the universe and just asked for us to get busier at the gym. It hasn't really happened on my side.
But slacker.
It is. I know my intention skills are not as good as his. I have some ideas about why it's not happening on my side. I think part of it is because I really want to be doing other things.
Yeah.
As your girlfriend has pointed out to me more than once, she's like, "Do you think you're manifesting this?" I'm like, "Yes." But anyway, so I'm getting sidetracked. So Rob's, he's getting ready to, and it's for 4 months, and then a lot of these people leave, and he's just saying yes. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to be your support team. I'm going to help you. And he's like, okay, all I'm going to need is like some really good treats and coffee every afternoon. And I'm not opposed to that at all. But I said this to him, and he was like, oh, let me think about that. I said, listen, I know that it makes your whole afternoon to have a Cinnabon and a cup of coffee in the afternoon, and it makes you feel like you can do anything. But I said, he's leaving Wednesday afternoons free so that he can kind of regroup and he can get outside and do a bike ride and do some of the stuff that we live here for. I mean, it is summer. He does want to do that. I mean, we both like winter better, so that's fine. But I said, listen, you're going to enjoy your time outside on Wednesdays so much more if sometimes that afternoon treat is a green smoothie, mm-hmm. right? Because it is about emotionally regulating. It is about what that experience of food gives you. And it's also about how do you feel later? How do you feel the next day? If you're constantly like, well, I feel amazing when I'm eating a sticky bun and coffee. It just brings me up for the whole afternoon. That's fine. How are you feeling in the night? How are you sleeping? How are you feeling the next day? Because those choices constantly are maybe not going to support you into the other activities that are important to you also, which is one thing. I mean, for, like some people will be like, I just love to eat. That's the only thing that's important to me. And that's fine. And if you really, truly believe that and you really are on board with that, then I say, God bless you. Keep it up. But for a lot of us, we want to enjoy what we're eating, but we also want to have a big life and enjoy the other parts of our life. And if we get out of balance, remember the dose makes the poison, where we're always in pleasure with food. It's always the most enjoyable. I mean, sometimes it's good to do something that's healthy and good for you and maybe not as delicious as eating a sticky bun and coffee.
Well, it's also flexing that choosing muscle, and that usually feels pretty good.
It does feel good, and it feels empowering when you're like, when you go out to dinner and you've had like kind of a, maybe a junk food day, and your buddy's having this big burrito with cheese and all this stuff, and you're like, I'm going to have this salad, And
I do that with Sharon all the time, and it cracks me up because when they come to bring the food, they start handing her the salad.
Right, right.
And I'm like, no, that's for me.
Yeah.
She gets the mac and cheese
right,
and the hot
good
dog.
Girl, good girl. Because you guys probably flipped it. Like, she probably ate salads all day and you, whatever. It doesn't even matter. Yeah. But the point is that you're right. It feels good to choose that. And it's a matter of us being able to go slow enough and stop judging ourselves. Like, the changes don't come from judgment. The changes come. The empowerment, sustainable changes come from information, from inspiration, from being willing to experiment with different things. Thank you.
You're rocking
Thank
it
you.
Today, Angela.
I love this topic because this for me has plagued me so many years of my life, and clearly I'm a person who likes to enjoy food, and yet I'm also a person who wants to be athletic and active and enjoying my life and look healthy and look, trim and fit. So it's been this constant back and forth battle, and I'm finding and figuring out ways to have both.
Well, because then we're not driving ourselves into a rut, and we know how hard it is to get out of the rut.
Totally.
I know what it's like. Well, I think we've all experienced it where we just get into that funk and it's so easy to just beat ourselves up and just say, screw it. Why bother?
Right.
But if you can keep yourself up and out of it, even if it's just little baby steps, our chances of continuing something sustainably, I think, go up tremendously.
Right. And the other crazy thing about it for me has been that the more I know when I'm emotionally regulating with food, the more choices have started to open up for me. So like, I've had a couple of major, upheavals, not like, it just kind of like ahas, like, oh my gosh. Like, for example, this is new to me. You guys, you might be like, oh my God, what is wrong with her? But, I have this thing about, how we feel about reframing and choosing how you want to feel. Okay. I've taken that to a kind of an extreme, like to the point where when I have these feel, whenever I get angry or jealous, I'll just immediately be like, oh, no, I'm not angry or jealous. No, I'm so grateful because I live here and I'm married to Rob and I get to do this and I'm healthy and my dogs are healthy and blah, blah, blah. But what has happened to me is by not actually acknowledging or experiencing the emotion of jealousy or anger, I've actually found that I have a physical manifestation of that coming out in the form of a headache, because those emotions, they actually, if you don't, apparently when you don't feel them and let them go through you, they get stuck. Okay. That's been my experience. I've kind of been working on this for many years, but that kind of just had a big like turnover aha moment with that this spring. And I got really, all of a sudden I was like really angry and I was like, okay, this is your moment. You could just be angry and just see if you can feel it and not run away from it and not change it into a good feeling emotion. And immediately I was like, I need some sugar. I really need some sugar. And then immediately I was like, that's emotional regulation. Okay. If you need the sugar, go ahead and do the sugar. And then there was another part of me was like, maybe I don't need the sugar. Maybe it's not going to kill me. Maybe I can just be angry. And then, of course, I started crying because I was, like, so angry. And then I was so upset that I was so angry. It was really wild. But here's my point of the whole little story is that I actually didn't end up eating any sugar because I fully have done that before, given myself permission to do it, realized that that's what's happening. And then all of a sudden I was like, nope, that's not going to help. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I actually went to the gym, got out the yoga mat, started doing yoga for, like, 30 seconds, and then just laid on the mat. It was the wildest thing. Like, I know
that
people,
was a lot of thinking.
I know people do that, but I've never been able to do that. I've always like turned to something, alcohol, drugs, food, something.
Well, that's the part of us that wants to fix something now.
Totally.
But that's the part of us that isn't comfortable being uncomfortable.
That's right. And sometimes I'm here to tell you, my guess is that in the future, there will be times where I'll have something that I'm uncomfortable with and I will use food to emotionally regulate that uncomfortableness. And hopefully I'll be conscious for it. And if I'm not, I hopefully just will be able to look at it afterwards and be like, okay, that's what you needed to do because that's where you are right now.
Tomorrow's another day.
Good luck on your spiritual path. You're still on the spiritual path. You just had to stop off for some ice cream. It's okay.
Yeah.
You just had to stop off, you know, on the side of the road for a little time out. It's what happens. I mean, most of us, that's what happens anyway. I mean, I'm sure there's some people that are going straight to like enlightenment without these little pit stops, but I'm just not one of them.
That's not my path.
It's not my path either. And I mean, I love the people that don't need the pit stops. I think it's somewhat inspirational, but we talked about last week, I almost get more inspired by the people that are that are being honest. Like this is what it looks like. And this is what's really happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's reality.
So the emotional eating, I want to kind of tie this off with just finishing it up with like, you know, there are different foods that make us feel different ways. Like for us to not feel, I mean, we're biologically set up to feel differently before, during, and after eating. We have cravings. Our body is set up it's designed to make us want to eat because that's keeps us alive. Like if we didn't need to eat, if we didn't get hungry, there's a chance we'd forget and then we wouldn't be able to continue living. Like it's like breathing. Like it's part of being a person. Like you need to eat, you need to breathe, you need to sleep, you need to eliminate, you need to procreate. There's these things that we do that are, we get all weird about all of it. Like, you know, manipulate it and it's not okay. And if I, you know, do this, but I think that if we can honor and be curious about how we feel before, during, and after the food choices that we're making, then we're more empowered to make the better choices. And then of course, read books about nutrition and listen to people talk about this works so well for me. For example, going back to the coffee, when my husband started drinking a glass of water with liquid light in it first thing in the morning, because I was like, okay.
By the way, I love that stuff.
I know, it's so good.
I love that stuff.
You guys, we're talking
about... This is some great... It's a good tasting way to get some vitamins and minerals.
Maybe we'll do a podcast on water.
Like, that was really good.
Yeah. Well, let me just, I'll just, in case anybody's like, well, I want to know what you're talking about. Like, one of the tools, one of my habits that took me a while to get into, and now I just, honestly, I can't even imagine starting my day without it. But my tip is to drink a big glass of water in the morning before you do anything else. Yes, before the coffee, before anything else. Like, just get up, don't do anything, drink a glass of water. And the higher the quality of water, because what happens is your body's had nothing through the night. Hopefully you haven't been up snacking, so your body can sleep and rest and repair. But your body is the most, your cells are just waiting for some good nutrition, and that's the way to stay hydrated during the day. So the highest quality water that you can manage to throw down for with your pocketbook, wherever it is, and try to consider this an investment in your health. But filtered water, I use alkaline water, and then sometimes you can add a supplement. So the supplement we're talking about is a supplement from a brand called Sun Warrior. They're awesome, and it's called Liquid Light. And the Liquid Light,
I'll put a link to this in
the
show.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Notes.
It's a fulvic acid. It basically has a lot of minerals and other great stuff in it. But basically, the fulvic acid is, it's sort of like an adaptogen. It helps your body get the nutrition to where it's supposed to be. So it's anyway, read about it, because I'm not super great at explaining the technical parts of all this stuff, but it's seriously life altering. So anyway, my point is that Rob started doing that, and we've talked about this with the habits. Like, I have to actually bring the water down because he won't go upstairs and drink it. By the time if it's not down there, he'll drink coffee first when he goes upstairs. So, but he, all of a sudden, he naturally stopped drinking as much coffee. He did not set out to drink less coffee. That was not in his plan. And all of a sudden he kept bringing a traveler to work, and then he'd bring it home. And then one day he's like, I'm not bringing a traveler to work today. And I'm like, why? And he's like, 'cause I never drink it. I'm like, why? Are you trying to cut down coffee? He's like, no. He's like, I don't need it. I'm like, well, what do you think that is? He's like, I think it's the water. So that's the other thing, is like, the more you can get tuned into what your body really needs, the easier it is. Like, you know, there are some people that when they emotionally regulate with food, they're going to choose, like, I'm going to totally live on the edge, and tonight I'm having brown rice and sesame seeds and, you know, whatever, because that's their big treat, because they don't normally do a lot of grains or whatever. You know what I mean? Because they've just adapted. So I'm not saying we don't want you to make healthy choices, but it's just a matter of finding your balance with it. No one part is more important than the other. So anyway, that's the emotional eating. Thank you. And I do have one more little tidbit for you guys as a resource for further fun and games around this idea of you're okay right where you are. I think we've talked about her before. Her name is Glennon Doyle Melton, and she writes a blog called Mom Mastery. That's mom and mastery melded together into one word. She was at the Wellness Festival, and I went to her talk, and actually I convinced half of our early morning workout team to come, and because one of my other friends had bought 6 tickets and she wasn't even here, and I'm like, do you want me to try to sell them? She's like, no, just, I want you to give them away. It's my donation. I want people to, because we both love her blog so much. So anyway, I convinced 6 people to come. I went ahead and bought myself a day pass, but I've convinced 6 people to come. Anyway, talking about people that inspire us, I'll tell you this. She, check out her blog. She's awesome. She talks about how life is messy, particularly if you have kids. I think that it's good, although it really speaks to me, and I have no intention, nor have I ever had any intention of having real kids other than dachshunds. And, but you know what I love about her is she is a fearsome truth teller. Like, she is like, this is how it really is. And when she was talking on Saturday, she was like, I am devoted and committed to telling the truth. And I lie all the time. And then I tell the truth. And then I lie again. And then I have to tell the truth again. And then I have to admit that I lied. And that, I find her so inspirational, because that feels so real to me. Like, she feels like she's on a path that's similar to my path with ice cream and pizza. Like, I'm on a path to high quality nutrition, healthy eating habits, and helping other people get there too. And yet I still have to pit stop. To tell you the truth, I still pit stop off to eating pizza. And most of the time when I eat pizza, I'm watching TV.
There you have it.
There you go. Doesn't mean, you know, so I just, but I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to tell you, but I do these other things too.
Yeah.
that really help. Because if I had to be all or nothing, then I would be stuck. Because I'm not giving up pizza, apparently, anytime soon. Anyway, check her out. She's really amazing.
I'll try to put a link in.
Yeah, she was pretty cool. So, and if you guys have any comments, questions, concerned about emotional eating, we want to hear about it.
Yeah. Where do they find you? Where do they tell you?
You can find me at Angela's Gym on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can find my website at goingtoangelas.com. If you want to get my blog weekly or monthly, I have a monthly newsletter or a weekly inspiration, Sunday inspiration in your inbox. You can sign up at my website on the little banner there. And we have more exciting podcasts coming your way with more exciting tidbits for everybody.
Well, I think you blew this up.
I want to also say thank you to Monkey Tongue Productions, which is Hino, and for producing this podcast. And of course, to all you guys that are listening, feel free to share the love.
Yes, please do. We love it. Awesome.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye. Yep.